Good evening. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the Santa Paula Planning Commission meeting of June 27th, 2017. If you please rise, we'll be led in the pledge by our newest commissioner, Margot Banks.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. May I have a roll call?
Commissioner Banks?
Here.
Commissioner Summer?
Present.
And Vice Chairman Robinson?
Here. Final agenda, are there any additions or changes to the agenda?
No, none at this time.
Okay. At this time, we'll go to public comment. Just a reminder, if you have a cell phone or communication device, please silence it or turn it off. This is the time where members of the public may comment on any item not appearing on the agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. In order to speak, you need to present a speaker's card. I have one speaker's card tonight, but it is for item 7 on the agenda. Are there any other public speaker comment cards?
I don't see any at this time.
Okay, thank you. Consent calendar item 6. We have approval of the minutes for the May 23rd meeting of the Planning Commission. Commissioners had an opportunity to review the minutes. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Okay. Item 7, order of business. Finding of consistency for Santa Paula Unified School District acquisition of Palm Court site. Do we have a presentation by staff?
Yes, we do. I'm going to have James Mason, our Deputy Planning Director, make the brief presentation on this, finding a consistency for the Santa Paula Unified School District acquisition of the Palm Court site. I guess we're ready. Okay.
Good evening, commissioners. Try that again. Good evening, commissioners. So basically, as you can see in front of you, you have agenda item 7A, a request to review general plan conformity finding to Public Resources Code section 21151.2 for the Santa Paula Unified School District. It's for acquisition of a site at 35 Palm Court. That provides the location, which you all also have in your packet. Now, state regulations that relate to this, basically, for a public facility to acquire property, there's a requirement for the presiding agency, in this case, the Planning Commission, to provide oversight that this is in compliance with the general plan. Staff has done staff work and research in accordance with that. I wanted to let you see specifically where it is. You can kind of see the high school campus there. The yellow outline provides where this specific property is, which is one door over from the pool and across from the gym facility. Okay, as I mentioned, you know, the importance of this meeting is to identify, based on staff input, that this action is consistent with the general plan. And really what the general plan's guidance provides that the two entities, in this case the city and the school district, for public purpose are coordinating to provide future expansion of the facilities at the high school campus. So that is in compliance and conformance with the general plan as far as the use. One thing I wanted to highlight doesn't show up really well in your packet just because of the clarity of the copy, but not that much better, but it kind of shows, if you can see at this area right here that's been highlighted in green, that shows exactly where this property is, and then these other properties are properties that have been acquired or are being acquired for the long-term facilities plan for the high school. And the recommendation this evening is that the Planning Commission direct the Planning Director to send a letter to the Santa Paula Unified School District stating that the proposed school site is in compliance with the general plan. I can entertain questions at this time.
Thank you. I do have some public speakers on this item. Pamela Murphy.
Good evening. Pamela Murphy, I'm here as a private citizen just to ask a question concerning the proposed demolition of this house and the rest of the neighborhood on Palm Court. I'm wondering if the commission or the school board, perhaps this is a question that should be directed to the school board, have done any recent studies about the population trends that are occurring in California now. There's been a lot of articles lately describing the decline in school enrollment, which is affecting the tax structure of schools, et cetera. So I'm just wondering what the commission's concept is of this moving forward with destroying Palm Court in order to build more classrooms for students that perhaps may not materialize. So that's my question posed to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gabrielle Zamora, is that right? Zamora? Was I close?
Gabrielle Zamora.
Not too bad.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Planning Commission, I'd like to submit two comments. I'm here as a resident of Santa Paula. With respect to this project and the planning of the high school in general. And in general, I would, as a citizen of Santa Paula, like to ask the Planning Commission to ask more of the school, the Unified School District, who is the developer. The Santa Paula High School has had three historic campus buildings on its site in the past. And starting with the westward expansion into Palm Court is the first time that the high school really began to very aggressively encroach into the neighborhood in its expansion. That expansion is in part required to allow the high school to serve not only its own population, but also the student population that was originally intended for two other campuses. One campus that was envisioned as part of the East Area 1 approved planning application build out, and another separate campus that was that is now being called the Renaissance High School, that was also intended for a different site. The pressures that has created on the adjacent neighborhood and the destructive, detrimental pressures that's created on the neighborhood have been brought before both the Planning Commission and the City Council over the last several months, if not years. They include increased pressures due to parking, pushing residents out by increased parking demand, pushing neighbors out by increased traffic, and increased danger to public safety. I am personally a member of the design profession and the design community. I know very well that it's possible to design something that's legal that is not necessarily a good design and a beneficial design. So I'm here as a resident to ask you to ask more of the school district in their proposals. I don't fault them for trying to do their work in as efficiently and cost effectively as possible, but we need to ask more of the applicant and the developer in this case. I'm personally concerned because I live on a historic street. I'm right across the street from McKevitt's Grammar School, and if one school facility is allowed to have a detrimental effect on a historic neighborhood. It sets a precedent that could be very harmful for the rest of Santa Paula. I'm also very concerned, not about this particular house, but about the house at 41 Palm Court, which is the Robert Clooney house. And it is also slated for demolition to provide a parking lot. And I would just like to ask the Planning Commission to ask the council what kind of message it sends to the high school students that we're responsible for forming and bringing up, that we have an internationally renowned landmark California Impressionist plein air painter who lived right here, and the knock on this man's legacy and this artist's legacy is that the house that he lived in is ordinary. These students are going to live their lives having people tell them that they don't count because they're ordinary, that they don't come from somewhere special, that they don't have the right connections. It's a miracle that we have a house like that and an artist like that in Santa Paula. His work is here in City Hall. His work is in the high school. His work is all over town. What kind of message does that send to the students when we tell them that that's the way we value the genius that is native to Santa Paula? Thank you.
Thank you. Douglas Henning.
Good evening. Doug Henning with Santa Paula Unified School District. I'm here to field really any questions or comments. The information presented by Mr. Mason was accurate, correct. With regards to the last topic at hand, I believe the house in reference is actually the 40 Palm Court reference, not 41 Palm Court. And the district does not own that property. It is, however, noted in the master plan that was shown up there as an intended piece of property for acquisition in interest of fairness.
Thank you. Are you going to be here for a little bit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That is all the speaker cards I have for this item. At this point, commissioners, any comments?
Just to weigh in on the three public speakers, Pam and Gabriel, and then Douglas to follow. I feel all those are out, or the first two would be not in our jurisdiction. So that would be going in front of the city council. So just to take that information out from there, but that's nothing that we have jurisdiction over. You know, if somebody is willing to sell their property to for a profit to a school district or to somebody else, that's their right to do so. Yeah.
Thank you. No comments? I thank the speakers for their comments. I thought they were very appropriate. As Commissioner Summers mentioned, it's not under our jurisdiction to make decisions relative to long-term planning for the school district or other jurisdictions. Basically, we have to look at this as it in keeping with their request as far as compliance with the general plan. I do know this matter has been the subject of a lot of public discussion and has been before the school board, which in my opinion is the more appropriate venue, numerous times. In terms of Ms. Murphy's question about population trends and growth, again, that's not something particularly the Planning Commission would pursue. But I do know that the demands on the high school in particular are going to expand because it will be the only high school in Santa Paula once the East Area 1 is built out. And I'm sure the district and the city council, as appropriate, would take that into considerations. I would like to, if we could return to the map that outlines that map. Do we know how many homes remain up and down the Palm Court?
Vice Chairman Robinson, I think this is a good time for Doug to assist us with this, knowing that it's the Unified School District's master plan. So I'm going to hand it over to Doug. Okay.
36, where it says SP6 is a property owned by the district. 34 here, Pac-Man shape, is owned by the district. 31 is owned by the district. Where priority one is listed here, that's actually really more reflective of two homes, 32 and 33. Those are not owned by the school district. And then down on this end, there's a combination of five homes here. Two of them actually front Santa Paula Street. One is 40 Palm Court, that's the aforementioned Robert Clooney house, not owned by the school district. The two on Santa Paula Street, which have deep backyards, are not owned by the school district. And the two in between, 41 and 42 Palm Court, they are owned by the school district. So 35 would be the sixth piece of property out of a proposed 11 properties in this swath.
Is it in the long-range plan of the district to acquire all those properties on that street?
No, it's in the district's long-range plan to acquire these 11 properties.
Okay.
And not any of the properties on the west side or the...
But on that right side of that curve going up, all of them, okay. I'll reminisce a little bit here. I grew up in Santa Paula, and I remember those homes back in the 50s and 60s, and the school was much smaller then, and the neighborhood was a quiet, tree-lined group of homes juxtaposed on the west side of the high school. But the high school has really grown with the addition of the football field, the gymnasium, which I believe was built in the 1960s, and the Renaissance High School, which is now over there as well. As I think about those homes, they were very ideal homes for that period. But with the growth of the school district all the events that take place over there, I find it hard to understand why anyone would want to continue to live in that environment. So I think the question before us is really quite straightforward, and that is this proposal as presented by the district in compliance with the city's plan and or general plan. And from my perspective, it is. So, Mr. Councilor, do I need a motion on this? Or can we just do this by consensus?
The commission acts as a body. I recommend that you take a vote on this. Do it a motion, a second, and a vote, please.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to recommend that the planning director send a letter to the school district advising them that their plans for this particular property are in compliance with the general plan for the city. And I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
May I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Banks?
Approve.
Commissioner Sommer? And Vice Chairman Robinson?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, next on our agenda, item 8 is a public hearing to consider phase 2-3 vesting tentative tract maps for the East Area 1 approval. At this time, I would like to open the public hearing. Verification of legal notice requirements for public hearing?
Yes, it's been properly noticed.
Declaration of any conflicts?
Not aye.
Ex parte contacts?
Not aye.
Okay, at this time I'll open the public hearing. Do we have a staff presentation?
Yes, we do. Good evening. I'm going to reintroduce to you Tracy Nelson, who's been working with the city staff on the Lehman Earl Lewis project for several years now. So I want to welcome her back. Thank you for joining us this evening. And right now we're looking at what we call phase 2 and phase 3 vesting tentative maps, and it's number 6000 and 6001, which is part of the approved project that was approved by Planning Commission and Council years ago. This goes with the East Area 1 specific plan. What we plan to do tonight is give you an overview of this project, a little historical background, because we do have some new faces on Planning Commission. So bear with us for some additional graphics. So Tracy, it's all yours.
Thank you, Jana. So as Jana mentioned, what we're looking at tonight are two vesting tentative track maps for further subdivision of phase two and three of the East Area 1 project. Brief overview of the entire project, and the graphic on the screen shows what was originally approved as part of the specific plan. So in March of 2008, the city approved the specific plan. In March of 2013, the area was annexed into the city. In February of 2015, after the annexation, the specific plan was amended, environmental documents updated, and the project was approved. The amendment was approved by the city. The approval at that time included a vesting tentative map, 5854, which is known as the master map or the A map. And what you're looking at here sort of represents what that looks like. It subdivided the site into several large lots with nothing specific in terms of residential development. And then in November of last year, we were before the commission and the council with eight track maps, which is maps 59, 85 through 92, which approved a total of 632 dwelling units with eight separate track maps on 72.3 acres, which, sorry about that, essentially was in this area down here. So those maps are approved. What's before us tonight, in quick overview, is phase two, which is known as the Foothill neighborhood, which is map 6001, and phase three, which is known as the Santa Paula Creek neighborhood. So this is a blow up to kind of show you where they are again in relation to what was approved last year. This was last year's approval. What we're looking at tonight in phase two in the Foothill neighborhood is a total of 92.3 acres, 314 total lots, which includes residential lots, lots for streets, and lots for parks and open space, so for a total of 314 lots in phase two. This is a little bit of a blow up of one portion of the track, which kind of shows a little bit of the open space areas and where those are gonna be. Those are smaller neighborhood lots to serve those areas. As you all know, there's bigger lots or bigger parks towards the entrance of the facility that are of the plan that are open to all of the residents as well. And then phase three, which is map 6000, which is the Santa Paula Creek neighborhood shown here, is a total of 211 lots, which includes 193 residential lots, 13 lots for streets, and another 5 lots for parks and open space. This particular area is roughly 50.4 acres. Included in the map tonight, or in the approval tonight, there are approximately 24 new streets. The street names included in your staff report were all on the approved street name list from the city, so we included them just to show you as a point of information. The plan itself, the maps itself, the lots, the densities are all in compliant with the specific plan and the Subdivision Map Act. And as far as environmental review, the previous environmental review for the larger specific plan area would also cover these maps. This isn't creating any more lots than was previously allowed for. If these two maps are approved tonight and you add the two with the maps that were approved last year for phase one, we would be at 1,500 units max, which is the max allowed by the original specific plan approval. So that concludes staff's report. We recommend that the commission adopt alternative one, adopting resolution 3766, recommending that the city council approve both maps, 53L6000 and 53K6001, for phase two and three vesting tentative maps 6000 and 6001. which allows for the creation of a total of 525 lots, including 483 residential lots, 42 numbered lots, which include streets, parks, and paseos, and approve the preliminary landscape plans for the common areas. And that's it. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for staff?
Just have one question on the landscape areas, the parks. Refresh my memory, whose responsibility is it to maintain those once they're established?
Those will be maintained by the Homeowners Association.
HOA? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have one speaker card on this. Tim Jones. Welcome.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Tim Jones with Lewis Companies. We're partners with Limonera on this project. So Limonera Lewis Community Builders is the partnership. Let me see, do I have a clicker presentation? So the first map here is the Foothill neighborhood. So a little background. Normally, we would have probably brought these a little bit later in the process, but we're processing right now the K through 8 school through the state. And the state wants evidence that you really do have 1,500 units out here. They won't count what's on the vesting tentative map A because it's not truly lots. So we went ahead and said, let's go ahead and process the tentative maps now. We probably would have waited another year before we did this, but it's good for us anyway because we really need to get pretty darn close to that 1,500 units for this project to really work, cover all the infrastructure and the parks and the bridge and everything that needs to go into it. So we spent a lot of time making sure that we had the right product types that met the specific plan. You can see there's a variety of product types. So the Foothill neighborhood here, if we go back one. So as you come in to the East Area 1 specific plan, you come in and you get to the Civic District here. This is where we have the kindergarten through 8 school. Future, this is reserved for some kind of a magnet school or something for the school district. They don't have any plans for it yet. This is the 38-acre sports park that we're going to build. That is the only public park. The rest of the parks in here are all maintained by the HOA. The streets, the backbone streets here, are the only public streets, and then all the rest of the streets are private streets maintained by the HOA. So those were conditions that were put on us as part of the original plan. So you can see the original neighborhood was intended to be, the Halleck Center was the higher density stuff. This is where we're gonna have the apartment project and some of the higher density housing. And then the densities kind of radiate out from there. So then the Foothill neighborhood. So we start, this is the backbone street right here, Harvest Loop. As you come in, there'll be, these would be detached condo type products, six pack cluster type products, four pack cluster products and so on, which are really single family homes on condo lots. So they look and feel like single family homes. It's just a condominium lot configuration. What's really nice about that product, those product types, is you really have from the street scenes, it's all, you don't see garage doors. It's all architecture forward, porches, and then all the driveways. There's shared driveways where the garages are on a shared driveway. So it's really a nice street scene. I don't know if you've been to, Village at the Park in Camarillo. But as you come into there, that's primarily that type of product where you see real nice street scenes. So. And then as you radiate out, you start getting into the single family lots, and They tend to get bigger and bigger as you start going up the hill. So there's different product types, different lot sizes, and you know, ultimately we will develop the site and we'll sell lots in groups of 50 or 60 to builders who will build those product types. So we have different products, different niches, so that four different builders can be selling at one time and they're not fighting over those buyers. So they'll each have their own buyer segments, square footage wise and price wise. And then in the Santa Paula, so street names, what we chose in the Foothill neighborhood, since this is where we have the elevation rise, there's really quite a bit of elevation here, about 120 feet from the top to the bottom, so there will be some, you know, view opportunities and stuff up there. We named all these streets from the street list that included mountains, so it's all mountain type names. In the Santa Paula Creek neighborhood, since this is over on the creek, we chose names from the list that were all rivers. So a little tidbit there. So this neighborhood, the same kind of concept. The smaller detached condominium products along the Loop Street that have no garages facing any of the streets. It's all architecture forward. More of your single family lots that get bigger and bigger as you radiate out. Oh, I thought the landscape plans were in there, no? No? They didn't get in there?
We kind of shortcutted it.
Okay.
Sorry, Tim.
But they're in our packet.
They're in the packet.
Okay. So in this neighborhood here, we have a 2.5 acre neighborhood park that would be in here. And there's a couple of little pocket parks throughout. And then in the Santa Paula Creek neighborhood, we've got small pocket parks, three pocket parks that are less than an acre, because they're right across the street from the 38 acre park and the rec area. So I think that's about it. Unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Jones?
Actually, just more of a comment, because this, again, it doesn't fall under our jurisdiction, but since I'm in the golf business, I'm very familiar with your company and some of the golf courses that have been built around your home developments. So the choice of the buffalo grass, in my estimation, has not worked in California. Okay. So I would just, you know, challenge you guys to maybe rethink that or do a field trip and go see some places that you might want to see if that's what you want. Because okay. There's two golf courses that tried that, and because of the water demands and because it supposedly takes less water, mm-hmm. It actually took more water to establish it versus Bermuda, and the winter dormancy when it is longer. Okay. So if you want a park area and it's green, that's not going to be your best choice. If you want something you don't have to water after you get it established, and you want brown, you know, a brown gray turf, mm-hmm. You know. But again, that's not typically what people buying this type of home, you know, want to see is brown turf.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just a comment. Just do a little due diligence, do a homework, because I think you might be setting yourself up for failure. Okay. Other than that, it's a great project.
Duly noted, and Tracy does the landscape plan checking, so I'm sure she can take a note on that too. All right, thanks.
No questions. Thank you. Thanks to all of our people who made comments. Just a couple of comments, and then we'll move forward. Those of us who have been around Santa Paula have watched this project grow for probably 10, 15, maybe more years. I don't know. And I see this as moving the project forward. Will this get us to the total 1,500 approved homes for the entire project?
Yes.
Yes.
It will. Okay. And just another comment. I want to commend the school district and Lehman Era Lewis people for working together to get this thing approved so that they can move forward with what they need for educational purposes, and it meets the need in our earlier discussion there was some comments about we all need to work together, and this is a good example of that. So, commissioners, anyone care to make a motion?
Sure, I make a motion that we adopt resolution 3766 as we've been discussing here.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Banks?
Yes.
Commissioner Summer?
Favor.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
Yes. With that, I will close the public hearing. We'll move to item 9, new business. Is there any new business, Ms. Planning Director?
No, I'll just wait till communications.
Communications? Okay.
If you don't mind. As far as planning department, I just wanted to let you know, and there's been some, or generally speaking, as you know, we have a new city manager who started yesterday, Michael Rock. He attended his first council meeting, which also involved a city budget. Also, some have asked, what is the status on the city-county application to LAFCO for the potential fire annexation? And I believe the council's agreed to move forward with the filing of the application. And in my, I've been working with the fire department on helping answer some of the questions. Things are moving forward. I'm not sure the exact date the application will be filed with LAFCO, but they assume it takes several months to go through the LAFCO process. Also closer to home, we will be having a DAC Design Assistance Committee meeting this Thursday afternoon. And there's a couple interesting items on the agenda. I may need some help here from James, who's helping chair it, but we're also having a subcommittee group look at our current historical ordinance, because we've always, the past few years, had a lot of inquiries on kind of updating it or refreshing it. So that is a topic of discussion that we'll be looking at. And I think I missed, there's one other item or two items, if you can help me out.
We're also going to be looking at landscape and irrigation plans for Ebell Park, improvements there, and also discussing the committee members. We need to recruit for more committee members, like a lot of our commissions. So that's it.
That's
we're
it.
Always recruiting in Santa Paula, aren't we?
Well, it can be a good thing. People serve for a certain number of years, and for whatever the reason, they may move out of the area, so we need to be replaced. And I think the message is, for those who are currently serving on the DAC, their terms had expired and they need to reapply. And that's just our message.
Thank you. Any planning commissioners have communications or comments at this time? Okay. Item 11, requests for future agenda items. Are there any? No. If not, I will adjourn this meeting at 6:38. Thank you for being here.